This week on Video Deathloop.
Hot Hands is fast, fun, and it's $1.65 a minute.
Plus, we gotta move over to the other seat real quick. Everyone, and welcome to Video Death Loop, the show where we watch a video on loop until one or both of us can't take it anymore. I'm your host this week, John Hurst, and over here is my co-host, Aaron Littleton.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello.
I thought about it for a brief second, and then I was like, I wanted to, like, the 2000s era webcomic in me wanted me, and here's my co-host, my player two. Aaron Littleton.
Oh my God.
And I had to stop myself, but not stop myself enough to say that I was thought about it. I did thought
at least
think about
we,
it.
Yes, at least we have to acknowledge the thought went through your brain.
Yeah, the cringe was there.
That's the first step to healing. Boy, we all got healed of webcomics, didn't we?
What's a webcomic? Do the kids know what a webcomic is?
No. For something that was so, important to my life, I read webcomics, I drew webcomics for years, and then they all just went away. Or if they didn't go away, I just stopped reading them. It was like one day I woke up and I was like, it's 2007. It's time to stop reading webcomics. because we have YouTube now.
Yeah, it's like second puberty hit, and second puberty was all about we don't have to download still images that are drawn anymore. We can what happened to Mega Tokyo? We don't know because YouTube came out at that point.
I mean, let's be honest. It that is sort of what happened, right? The internet moved on. Before a certain point of time, there was not a terribly easy way to share videos online, and people didn't have the bandwidth or the storage space for too many videos, and so you'd get the occasional little viral video that bubbled up out there,
but you'd have to download it too, like an MP4.
Yeah, someone had to pass it along to you. Someone was like, here's a file to put on your hard drive. You make sure to save it in the right directory. Make sure you have a tree-shaped directory where you know all your files are.
Aaron, and I think I found like Mega 64 through like a LAN party. To like someone shared the video files with me. I think that's how I discovered it.
Yeah, I mean that's what happened. But then somewhere along the way we got, I mean, YouTube was the big one, but obviously there are and were others. Mm-hmm. And around the same time, that was like audio came just a little bit before. You know, you had your iPods and your iTunes and your Napsters.
Yeah.
Because audio was bigger than images, less big than video. And it was just the standard course of media evolution just played out again in like hyperspeed. Because we started with text, both in reality and the internet, because the internet
different from reality.
Yeah, in traditional media history, we had the printing press for text, and we had hypertext on the internet. Then we were able to start putting wood block etchings into books. Then we had hyper wood block etchings. Yeah. Yes,
you could click them.
Yeah, I mean, in the GIF in GIF stands for etchings. The G, the soft G, it's actually G from etchings.
Your platform is crumbling under you.
but then we got audio, and then we got video, and then it just kind of ended.
Yeah,
because video was just always the end game. But it does make me wonder if we do get to have that process again at some point. Like, the future technology that will allow first text, then image, then audio, then video. Mm-hmm. and it's I can't imagine what it would be again, but what that is. But that's why I'm not inventing computers. That's why, as right. much as I would like to think so, if you sent me back in time to the mid 20th century, there's no fucking way I would invent a computer. I would be like I'm even going to make a radio show.
I'm pretty sure I built one on like in Minecraft, and I still wouldn't be able to go back and tell myself like here's a you know like here's how to make a computer, like the next computer thing. Yeah, like we found different ways beyond the webcomic to express ourselves in a lot of ways, and it's like I can't you're right, we were limited. We had audio was starting to form like a little bit beyond like just your standard MP3s and stuff, but also we were willing to wait a little bit for four panel video game webcomics to go, and also to express ourselves. Sometimes you just needed you could express yourself in a Mega Man sprite comic, and it was easy to do and put on the internet, and people had to look at it.
They had to. Mm-hmm. Legally, they had to.
Yeah.
If you were a certain person somewhere along the lines in, let's call it like 1997, someone said, these are sprite comics. We have them now. You must read them. And then they will be a shameful way that you can meet new friends in the future. Yeah. They will know what sword chucks are. They will know who Bob and George are. Mm-hmm. They will know all of these things.
Turns out as soon as you entered Overclocked Remix for the first time, you just got your license. Like, okay, here's the websites you were required to go check out. Here's your Penny Arcade license. You must go check it out at least three times a week.
Three times.
Or more.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah. There's something to be said about like, you know, with current like you got your video essays now. You got like whatever the next video content, like interactive format on the internet will be. I don't know what that is.
I don't want to dissuade people from like looking for new technology.
No,
or anything.
I don't.
But I am actually kind of cool with us reaching this end point in the technological march of like we've reached video again, right? Now mm-hmm. we kind of have to sit and stew and to get creative with it.
Right.
For so many years, technology and the new things available to do with technology have defined creativity, because obviously you are going to have to just take advantage of what is new to get attention, because people are interested in technology and creativity. But now it's just video. He says on his audio podcast,
right?
It's just video
about a video topic.
Yeah. And it's like, what can we do with video? We have to actually add creativity to the videos we make, rather mm-hmm. than just being amused that we are able to do video. And, you know, right now, yeah, I think like you joke, there's kind of this huge divide, right? Like the lengths and the not lengths. Like the 3-minute internet video right now is dead. There are only 7-second internet videos and 4-hour internet videos about incredibly tiny, inconsequential topics.
Usually the same topics for both videos, actually. No.
Well, I'm more thinking about the 4-hour video I watched about the Star Wars hotel recently. It's really good. I recommend it. Absolutely go out and watch that 4-hour video about why the Star Wars hotel was not good. It's way more information than anyone needs. But it's 4 hours of it.
I think we need to go bigger. I think we need to like find a way to like, if you know, the movie theaters are dying, for example. What if we just did like one of those Fathom events, but it's for for one of the popular video essayists, like for the Star Wars hotel experience, like that.
I want H Bomber Guy to do a second Tommy Tallarico video, and I want it to be a Fathom Events. That's what I want.
A second Tommy Tallarico video has entered the internet.
No, it's not on the internet. It's only in movie theaters.
Yeah,
H-Bomber Guy now only in theaters.
Same quality, by the way. I mean, like, usually, like, in the top-tier video essays, they usually have really good quality anyway, but it's got to be the same exact. It's like no Hollywooding it up.
No, absolutely none at all. That's why I'm saying, that's why I'm excited that now we have to get creative again. We can't just be like, well, let's just wait on the next technological leap because we're done. We've hit it. Yeah. There's nothing past video.
Nothing at all.
Nothing, John. Nothing.
Aaron, I got a video for you, by the way. Speaking of videos.
Hey, it's the end game of creativity. Video.
Yeah. Video Death Loop, the end game of creativity. I got a video for you that you have no idea what it is.
I do not.
But I do because I picked it out, and we're going to watch it on loop until we can't take it anymore. Aaron, are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. I see some sort of superhero man coming out of a video game to a guy's living room. 900 hot hints.
Yeah, this is a video game help hint line from the 90s for, I think, St. Paul, Minnesota.
It's only according for St. Paul?
No
only
other place.
St. Paul residents.
Yes. Like if you're too far away, if you're not in St. Paul.
That guy is about the most St. Paul resident I've ever seen.
He's got the hockey hair going for sure. He's got everything ready for it.
I mean, someone did some creativity. When we're talking about creativity, this is what I'm talking about, John.
Yeah.
The idea of like this guy, whoever made this commercial, was like, shit, man, I've just got this idea of how I can make a video game man come out of the television, and I want to do it. And I need to film this. And he did it. And I bet it's that same guy. I bet this was a one-man operation.
Very much sure. Like it looks like he had access to a public access channel room for a while that already had the plants already in there. It's like, oh, cool. That means all I need to do is bring my TV and my NES here, and I can film a commercial. And then I can interpose everything in there on that. Maybe he was just ready for it, trying to make this on the low, as cheap as possible.
I am very intrigued by his idea of what a living room looks like, because it is a gigantic curtain, and in front of it is just a lot of plants and a bookshelf.
Yeah. It's so the curtain, like if the curtain is not enough privacy, the plants will like privacy further. It's an extra layer. It's a second layer of security there. So like your first layer is your glass, I guess.
This is a secure. Oh, so your impression is that behind that curtain is like a window sized, like a wall sized window.
Yeah, at least one. Like maybe there's like more than one, but like each of those curtains or something in there. Maybe there's something in there. So it's like glass and then curtain and then plant and then shelf, I guess.
Okay, sure. So it's glass behind there, curtain, and then some plants and shelves.
Yeah.
Okay, shelves. I think what I actually believe is that this was filmed on a soundstage somewhere.
I believe that too.
And
but.
they needed like a curtain, but... I mean, they don't have a wall or that looked like a wall. So they go, I just put, 100 yards of curtains behind me.
It's like maybe it's on a maybe it's not a sound stage. Maybe it's like a real stage where they have that big curtain that goes down.
And he's he's filming this in real time in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah.
On a real stage. And the audience is like, you have to be quiet. You cannot react. We do not need you here. We're not sure why you came in here.
Yeah, it's like, how did you get in here? I did not sell tickets. Who sold you? Why do you have tickets to this?
It's the video game man that came out of the TV. He sold tickets.
Yeah. And, you know, like that, that also, if the video game man is in, like, in there, that implies that they made that before filming it. So, like, the audience is in on it at this point. Maybe they, like, they know about the secret passwords, the fast and fun, the hints that the Superman of video games is telling them.
That's right. If that guy was on the street, this video game guy that comes out with his weird slick back hair and his sunglasses, mm-hmm. I guess. And he was aviators, because superheroes often wear aviators while they're flying around.
Usually,
I'm fine.
Yeah, just, you know, like to make sure that the sun doesn't get in their eyes. It's very bright outside today. Don't, like, they got a headache.
If that guy's standing on the corner in this exact pose, like legs sort of, you know, 45 degrees angle at his crotch, you know, separating his legs, one hand on his oversized hip, and he's trying to sell you tickets. He's like, hey, you guys, I got a ticket. Like, he's outside scalping.
Yeah.
They're like, what's it for? Just come on in. It's hot. It's hot hints.
Hot hints, what? Baby.
What does that mean? It's just hot. Don't worry about it. Buy these tickets. It's $10.
Is this like cats on a hot tin roof? Yeah, whatever. Hot hints, come in.
What's the point? Okay, so that guy's he's outside of a venue. He's selling tickets. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't know what it is. He just tells you these are hot tickets. Okay, what price? Because I feel like there's a point where if the price goes up enough, then it's like, well, this guy might be legit. You know, is it like $50? I feel like $10. I'm like, fuck off. There's nothing. This man, he's just looking for an audience of people to watch him masturbate. Like, that's all. I'm going to walk in and see this guy just,
you know,
gooning up on stage.
We don't, the guy on the main character, we don't see anything below his shoulders. So he could just be like pantsless all day, like on there. Like, it could very well be that.
I mean, if you're playing NES, you probably should be pantsless. It just helps, you know, with body cooling. Yeah. Right, yeah, you're going to be so excited about these hot games, that you need your body to be working at
air
extraordinarily venting heat.
Yeah. Ah, man, like $8. I think $8 is where it's like, hold on a second, like what is this? I got to go check it out. Like, that's your kind of standard venue rate. $8, I think. Like $5 is a little too cheap.
That guy is. If he says, I've got a ticket for $8,
I'm kind of curious.
I'm curious, but there, I know it's not going to be anything worthwhile at $8.
I mean,
$8.
That's like the standard. Like, if you go to a show at your local dive bar where like some random band is playing, $8 is a pretty, like, it's like, okay. They might be from out of town. They might be from out of town. I might go check them out.
I just feel
this might
like
be a band from out of town.
That, yes, it's it is possibly. Okay, that guy is standing outside of the Pilot Light in Knoxville, Tennessee. I highly recommend looking it up if you don't live here.
Shout out the Pilot Light.
And that guy is he's offering you an $8 ticket to what's happening in the Pilot Light. And he's dressed like that, sitting in front of the Pilot Light. I'll be like, fuck yeah, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
This is going to be great. All right, that guy is standing outside of some legitimate venue.
Okay,
that is not a non-profit bar like the Pilot Light. It's a registered non-profit bar.
Yeah, you're talking about like in front of like Thompson Bowling Arena or something like that.
Yeah, and he's like $8 to get in. I'm like, fuck you. Absolutely not. There's nothing happening in there I want to see.
If he's in front of like Nissan Stadium or something and be like, hey, you want tickets in? It's like, there's not a game today. Whatever. $8. What the fuck are you like? Where is the show at? I don't trust that. At that point, it's too big of a venue.
I'm not sure
what's going to happen.
Yeah, no.
I'm with you there. I'm with you.
You're
there.
Right. It is very context specific. Okay. Yeah, I bet it would be the night of my life if that guy was doing something at the Pilot Light. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I promise you.
I'm already,
probably
I'm already,
got, he's got friends inside.
Yeah.
You know, like they've got something that they really feel it, you know, is an important show to show people.
Yeah.
But other than that, like $8, I'm not buying it from that guy.
Yeah. If you're going to like a venue in downtown or something like that, where it's yeah, at that point you'd be like, you're a little suspicious. Like, is this a real ticket? Are you? This is a parking pass. What is this?
Yeah, I mean, so it's like when I've been to several WWE events in my life, but I've never paid for them. Someone is all like somewhere along the lines, WWE has come through and given tickets to people to give out, and they've given them to me, and I understand, like, I'm providing them with something. I'm providing them with a seat filler. Like, they don't need to have an empty stadium, because then their show does not look exciting. So, right. So like, I understand. Like, I'm providing them something. They're providing me something. It's all fine. That's fine. But as soon as money comes in, it's like, man, I don't know. I begin to distrust. If he's free, he's standing outside a venue. He's like, hey, you want a free ticket?
I don't know. I don't. Okay. If the guy is charging me for the Superman dude giving me the hot hints, the coming out of the TV.
Hot hints.
If he's saying it's free, I'm a little bit more suspicious immediately, because I don't no, I'm going to the grocery. I got to go get groceries and stuff. I'm out of here. Thank you. I'm a little more suspicious.
You're
at
more
that
suspicious
point.
Of it. I guess I get it. I think once it hits free, I think I think we're back to context, right?
Right.
It's like outside the pilot light, you're like, here's a ticket for what's going on there. It's free. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm not. No. Hmm. No. But if it's outside, like you said, like a big stadium, like it's free. It's like, okay, they need a seat filler. I think the context is, yeah, at free outside a big stadium.
Okay.
I'm like, it's some thing where they just need a bunch of people in seats. And so it might be worthwhile. You know, you're not going to have the best seat in the house, but you aren't paying anything.
Right.
So, yeah, then I take it. Isn't that weird? Outside a shitty venue, an $8 ticket's a great idea.
Yeah.
But an $8 ticket outside a big venue, fuck off. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when it gets free, yeah. No, no, no. I'm not going into the dive bar for free.
Yeah, someone who's definitely gone into the dive bar for free on there, but the
I've been to the dive bar for free many times.
But
not with that guy inviting
with
me.
That guy.
It's always like, what if you go and there's like a weird comedy show?
Yeah, one thing I love about those WWE shows, by the way, is like you definitely do not know what your seat is. Like, you have a seat number on there, but it's like, no, we need you in front of hard cam number one right now.
Yeah. No, they did that to us.
Yeah.
They did, because we went to that one show where they did not have a full house.
Mm-hmm.
You, John and I, we both went, and they were like, no, you got to go over there. And then they only point the camera at that half of the stadium. And so half the stadium is completely packed. The other side is completely empty. And it's a very weird experience to be in there.
Yeah.
Like, why don't some people sit over there? There's a lot of good seats over there.
It's like, can I sit over? No.
No, because we're filming this side. We need you here.
But they're not none of the none of the wrestlers dare to look at us. They're looking at the hard camera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's also great. You're exactly right, because the camera, obviously, if you're pointing at the full side of the stadium, the camera is on the other side of the ring. So the wrestlers come out and then jump on the ropes and lift up their arms towards an empty stadium with their back facing literally everyone. It's insanity. It's insanity. And that's why it's free.
Do you think they ever if it's even smaller than the one we went to, do you think ever they were like, if it was like half the size, it'd be like, okay, everyone, look, we need you to move over to the other side really fast.
Yeah, constantly. You're gonna have to be moving between seats that are about 100 yards away from each other whenever we flag you down.
Yeah, we're going to move as a unit. We're going to move. We're going to use real-time strategy elements here. We're going to move you all at one time.
we've brought, We're providing each of you with a roll of paper. You have to draw a friend and put it in the seat next to you. Friend has to look realistic. It has to work on television.
Yeah.
Can it look like this cartoon man with glasses that came out of a TV in a fever dream I had in St. Paul, Minnesota one time? No.
No.
It's got to look trustworthy and cool.
Aaron, do you think you would have... Did you ever call get hot hints for a video game?
No, I didn't. I think my parents put the fear of God in me about 1-900 numbers. Even to this day, I feel a little dirty even watching this commercial about a 1-900
scandalous
number.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they just they hated the idea that potentially their child could pick up a phone and cost them money by dialing a 1-900 number, and it was very much discouraged to do that. So no, I did not. Did you call a 1-900 number, John?
With my parents' permission, I did.
With your parents'
time.
Permission. Yeah. Wow.
I called for hints on a Super Nintendo, one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles tournament fighter games. Because I was wanting to know how to unlock the secret characters, and it wasn't in the Nintendo Power I had. So the only way I could rely on my friends at school who lied to me a lot about video game hints, or I could call the number.
And you called the number. Did they tell you how?
I did. I did. They did in about 2 minutes or less. So
2 minutes. Oh wow! So it's just $4.95.
It worked. It worked. I asked. I did everything the video told me to. I asked my parents' permission before calling, and I got the video game hint I needed. And lo and behold, it worked.
Fantastic.
1-900 numbers work, people. You heard it here first.
How can you walk me through that interaction? What was it like to be a kid with cool parents that would let you call the Nintendo hotline?
That was I felt like it was an arbitrary thing. It's I had to kind of reason with them. I think at that point I really want this. I rented this game. I only have a limited time with it. I need to know how to unlock
rental.
It was for a rental.
Oh my god.
I wanted to play a Shredder, man.
I guess you gotta get in there with Shredder.
Yeah.
Do you remember how did you do it? How did you unlock it?
I don't remember the code anymore, but I remember it was
a code you put in.
Yeah, it was a code you had to do on the character select screen, I'm pretty sure.
How did it, when you called in, did you immediately get a human, or was there some push the letter corresponding with the first letter of the game you want information about?
I think there was this was a Konami game, so you called the 1-800 number for Konami on that, and they had here are our hero latest and hottest games on here, and it was come here, if you want Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles tournament fighter hints, press 1 or something like that.
So it was, but it was, it was all pre-recorded. It wasn't the Nintendo hotline. It was literally Konami's hotline.
Yeah, yeah. It was
fucking racket.
Yeah,
you make these oblique ass video games with secret codes and all kinds things that aren't obvious, and then you're like, oh, if you want to know how to do that, just fucking call us on our 1-900 number. Yeah.
It wasn't the Konami code, by the way. I tried that.
Well, that's why
I better call the 1-900 number.
That's the have you tried turning it off and on again with video games, right? Put in the Konami code, see if that works.
Right, right. But if I had access to something 1-900 hot hints with hundreds of video games, I don't think my parents would ban me from television. And phones.
Yeah, they're like, what now? What's this man that wears his underwear on the outside wanting you to do? Calling him?
Calling hot hints?
For $1.65 a minute?
You can select any game, though, Mom.
Any game. Fractions 2.
Yeah. What if... do we need to put the fear of 1-900 numbers back into... back into society, do we need to make 1-900 Fortnite and make it $1.65 per minute?
Oh, we'll tell you how to get free Robux.
Yeah.
V-Bucks is for Fortnite, right?
V-Bucks is Fortnite. Yeah.
For $4.95 a minute, we'll tell you how to get free V-Bucks.
That's pretty good. Pretty good deal.
Pretty good. Might take a few minutes to tell you how.
Yeah, they'll get there. They'll get there in the end.
Just hold on. We're going to put you on hold. the timer will be running, but we're going to get back with you with how to get free V-Bucks.
I don't know when the timer begins on the 1-900 call, now that I think about it. I don't know if it was like as soon as the call began or if I selected a game and they like I don't know where does the 1-900 begin? Like, where's the danger zone?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like as soon as you hit that last digit, you're on the hook. Like, time's a going. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's all of that would be managed by the telephone company, right?
Right.
Like, they would know. They would know you've called it.
Yeah, they would definitely have a record of that. That's how they would get you for that.
Right, yeah. So, like, yeah, let it ring a few times before it answers, kids. That's just, you know, another 50 cents going to Konami.
Who do you, in St. Paul, Minnesota, who do you think answered it? Do you think it was that guy? Do you think it was his friends?
The guy in the commercial? The guy in the commercial is definitely one of the guys that answers the phone. Because that guy, there's no way at some point in his life he has not worked as video game expert.
Right. Definitely has a part in whatever newscast where it's like his name and then like video game expert at the bottom.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, it's that guy. It's his friends. I mean, they work in a house probably that they rent that's zoned residential, and they don't tell people they're doing commercial work there.
Oh God, yeah.
The fridge is totally full of Keystone Lights.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's a good time working for 1-900 Hotlines, is what I'm saying.
They even say tell your friends in the video. I just noticed that now.
Tell your friends. Call what? Well, yeah, why not? Why not? They need video game hints too.
I feel like the 1-900 number in a back, like in a, like a, for a, for a, at a smaller location, like St. Paul, Minnesota, where I imagine, like, I mean, it's a bigger city, but
yeah,
not it's impossible not that,
that
you,
it's not that big.
It's very possible to call, like, oh man, I need to get the latest hints on tournament fighters, and you call 1-800 Hot Hints, and Steve from your friend Steve is on the other line. It's like, you could just tell me this off the hook. No, you're on here now. We're talking. Called.
How's it going, talk bro? To someone else. You want me to transfer you to your cousin? Your older cousin? Yeah. Oh yeah, that guy's cool. He wears flannel.
Oh shit.
He has plants and curtains in his room.
Ooh.
For protection.
Protective plants.
Protective plants. He has reached the pinnacle of creativity. Videos.
Oh God, I'm happy.
It's your older cousin.
I don't need my older cousin doesn't need to give me video game hints. I'm tapping.
Where did you have the cool older cousin?
I had cool older cousins, but they were far enough away. Like I only interacted with them a couple times a year. So, and it was usually not about like video games and stuff. So it was usually like they just had like the cool basement room at their place, at their family place.
Yeah. I like my cousins, but they weren't that cool.
This is
in retrospect, or even at the time. Sorry, other Littletons.
Oh man, that's gonna be scandalous.
The guy with the podcast is saying you weren't that cool.
Expose from Aaron Littleton.
Watch out for my 3-hour video about it coming soon to Regal Cinemas.
You know what? Here's what I think. I think they need to bring back the 1-900 number, but it's all just full video essays instead. And you just listen to it until you stop caring and you just hang up.
Yeah.
You just hang up. Why pay them?
Should Video Deathloop be a 1-900 number? Every week you can call and listen to this podcast, but it's $4.95 a minute.
Other podcasts go to platforms like Patreon and help enable their fans further. like helping, like kind of be part of, like feeling like they're a part of it. You know, I think we need to, we just need to alienate everyone further. I think the 1-800 is the ticket for that.
I've often said the only reason I haven't sold out is because no one's offered to buy me yet. I'm just waiting.
It could, if you feel like buying any of us, questions@videodeathloop.com, you just...
It's way cheaper than you might think.
Put a price. We'll probably say yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be monetary value. I do accept like forms of like liquid and or food sustenance on there. Like that is easy enough for me. Mostly money, though.
Mostly money. I'm going to say, I was going to say I'm only money, but no, I'm not. I'm also mostly money. I got to leave some. There could be, someone might have a big thing of like Wagyu beef. Go for some Wagyu beef. You see the way that stuff's marbled? That's good stuff.
That'd be pretty good, actually. Especially in summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go for that. I'd sell out for some Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah. Questions@videodeathloop.com.
Questions@videodeathloop.com. Provide us other expensive meats.
Yeah. If you want to talk to tell your friends about it, we don't have a 900 number yet. We'll probably work on that soon. But you can tell them videodeathloop.com or check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're there. Usually. I haven't found one that we're usually like other than the Amazon podcast. Is the Amazon podcasting platform even a thing anymore?
Yeah, it's still there, I think. Okay.
We're not on that though.
No, we're not, because at one point they really want us to be on it, but it turned out you couldn't disparage Amazon if you were on it. We weren't down with that.
No, you couldn't say
and
Jeff
so I
Bezos.
Think they might have changed that rule, but there is something nice about sticking to some principles.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Every once in a while. I mean, send us Wagyu beef, though. I mean, that.
Yeah, absolutely. Send us that.
Let's see. Do this every week. I feel like I'm forgetting something, Aaron. Aaron, do you have any other words you want to add to that?
Absolutely. Have a good week, everybody.
Yes. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.